I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, so this must be the next page. Hey, Marissa.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going amazing.
Oh, great. I love to hear that.
It has to be going amazing because this is still the most wonderful time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is.
And you know, it's interesting. It's a good thing that we talked about the things that we talked about last week when we were talking about, you know, how you had to alter your plans for your photos and things like that, for mm-hmm. your photo cards. And I was having a conversation with my wife, and I forgot what it was. You know, but our listeners don't yet, that I literally had 2 funerals in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
But it really caused me to sit back and think again, be very intentional about the holidays and say, okay, what is this all about? What is Christmas all about? You know, and it's not about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I quickly started getting this panic attack that the season was compressing and I wouldn't be ready or I wouldn't have enjoyed it and it's all gone. And then I said, wait, just relax. You know, and as Deborah Searle says, choose your attitude, David. So as you can tell by my welcoming our listeners, I'm choosing to be positive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And as we're sitting here, it's the end of the day. And as we all know, it gets dark
yes.
pretty early now. However, I have the most beautiful pink sunset sky that I'm overlooking Ooh. Right now as we talk.
See, that's the benefit. Your recording area is up where you can see. I look up a basement window because my office is in the basement. So I have a really nice window, but all I see is the darkening sky. Oh, well.
Well, it is very beautiful. If you were in a different room, you would see a very nice
That's true. Well, thank you for seeing that for me and sharing it with me. And we also, it's really nice to know that even in central New York, we don't have just one nice sunset a year because once is never enough.
Exactly. And that's what the subject of your message today is all about.
So is that not a unique way of introducing the topic of once is never enough?
Right. Exactly. Perfectly
then. Exactly. So they're saying, what is David drinking in that water bottle? Is it water or is it vodka? No, it's actually, it's sparkling water. But it's water. But the post that went out this morning is entitled Once is Never Enough. And it really came from one of my favorite coaching clients. And I'm going to mention his name, Brian Butler from United Radio. I don't think he'd mind.
No, but he's been a guest on our show, too.
He has. He was a guest of really one of my favorite shows, listening back mm-hmm. for the time when you were gone. But Brian came into coaching last week and he said, you know, I've been thinking about like your podcast. And I said, okay. And he says, you can't just listen to it once. And I said, okay, keep going. He goes, well, have you ever thought about writing about things like why we need to review things more than once or listen to things more than once? And I never have.
Mm-hmm.
But he really got me to think, and I did a little bit of research. And in my post, I say we forget, within 3 to 5 days, we forget 90% of what we learned. Then when I went to another source, for instance, if it's a lecture, we're only going to retain 5% of it.
That makes me feel really good about all the money spent on college.
Yeah, think about it. We are spending so much money, and I know you have that number. So what do companies yes. spend per year?
So I am still in disbelief that this is the dollar amount. And this was actually from 2012, so this is
okay.
an aged statistic that I think is probably even higher now. But in 2012, $164.2 billion.
Oh, my word.
Was spent on employee learning and development in the United States.
Wow.
That now is so much money.
We need to make sure that Randy doesn't hear the statistic because then he's going to say, David, so why is your training budget as small as it is? My forecast is not nearly up to $164 billion. Wow. So, and if we think about it, how much are those people retaining? You know, companies are spending a fortune on training, which they should, because the only thing worse than training a person and having him leave is not training him and having him stay. But we're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not able to retain. So the focus of our discussion today and a little bit of, so what I shared in my post was my very first Maxwell certification event. Now that's something that I go to every year, even though I'm already certified, but my reason for going every year is because they have additional trainings. And at the first session that John ever taught that I sat in on, he came up with, or he shared with us his ACT method, his ACT method. And what John was saying was that as you're making your notes, write an A, a C, and a T in certain areas. And so if it's an A, he says, if you've written something down that you want to act on or apply in your life, put an A. And he said, if you come across a thought that's something you really want to change in what you're doing, put a C. And if you want to teach it to someone, put a T. And he said, so then when you're done with all your training, he said, now I want you to go back through when you get home. I want you to review your notes. And then what I want you to do is I want you to prioritize your A's, your C's, and your T's, and then work on the most important A, the most important C, and the most important T. The unique thing about what John was sharing with us was that he knew already that the only way for us to not be forgetting 90% of what we're doing is to find tools and tips and tricks to retain it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first ones is just sheer repetition. And I had shared, you know, a psychologist from the 1880s, he was the first person that said, he came up with what was called the forgetting curve. And he said, unless we find a way of engaging in repetition within 3 to 5 days, we do forget 90% of everything that we've been taught. So John, it was interesting, and in coming up with his ACTs, we're reviewing the notes when we get home, so that's repetition. We're actually determining actions for each of the notes that we're putting, mm-hmm. which is, again, a repetition and a refocus. But the key one was the teaching piece, which I thought was fascinating, because according to the National Training Laboratories in Maine, we retain 90% of what we've learned if we teach it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very educated young woman. So what tips or tricks had you used when you were going through school to retain things?
I was always one to, like, I'd take my notes in school or in class, and then I would retype them, turn them into study guides, then repurpose them into index cards, and kind of using that repetition practice so that I wasn't just sitting there reading the handwritten notes that I had written once. I was rewriting them, retyping them.
Okay.
I also remember reading when I was, it must have been back when I was in college, about, like, when you're studying, if you do something else, so whether it be like this ACT method, or even something as simple as chewing gum while you're studying, you form these, like, associations for recall. So if you're, like, then later you're taking the exam, you might remember, like, oh, I was chewing, like, cinnamon flavored gum when I was studying this. So, you know, this, I remember this being the answer, which is weird, and I'm sure I, like, completely butchered it, but it was an association.
Right. Well, no, I did find some research that said that if you can make associations during your learning, you can increase your retention dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember specifically when I was eating Halloween candy while studying. I did really great that semester too. But I remember, like, that was my association, was the Halloween candy.
The dental bill was very high.
But I was always a big, like, study guide maker, studying with others. So while that might not be teaching so much as reviewing together, I think that made a difference too.
Wow, that's great. You know, as you were sharing that, I remembered I had the real privilege of working with my dad for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was running a company in Auburn. He was the VP of manufacturing for a company in Auburn. And I was his toolmaker, actually. And I remember him frequently saying things about, when you teach a person to do a job. He said, first you, and he was talking about like a task for someone on a production floor. He said, first you tell them what they're going to do. Then you show them what they're going to do. Then you watch them do it. He said, and then you come back an hour later to make sure they're doing it the way you had shown them. And so he was also coming through some of these things of being very, very intentional when we're teaching people to make sure that they are doing, you know, that we've shown them. So he had the almost the lecture piece. He was showing, that's an audiovisual kind of thing. Then he was watching them practice it, that type of thing, and following up. What was interesting is in this learning pyramid and knowledge retention rate. So I already mentioned 5% of what we hear in a lecture we remember. 10% of what we read, we remember. And that one, that kind of surprised me. I think you and I talked before we started the recording that, you know, learning style certainly would play a huge part in this. And I think, you know, one of the things I've done is because I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I did it just today. I was driving out to Auburn and I was listening to something, and literally I probably took, now these are voice notes, like by, you know, dictating something into in my phone, I would say 8 different notes from a 30-minute ride. And then what I will do is those are in my Evernote app.
Yeah.
So that as I review my learnings for the day, I will be reviewing those again. But I think I do better. Again, I'm reading, but I'm listening. I would hope I do better than a 10% retention. But.
See, I think that's where it comes in with the learning styles, because right. I would say for me, that's probably pretty accurate.
Okay.
I'm more of a hands-on learner.
Sure.
Than an audio for sure.
And sure.
Especially a lecture. I think too, yeah. for me, it's that I can let my mind wander doing
right.
Whether yes. I'm listening or reading, but if I'm doing something,
right.
If I let my mind wander, like there could be some serious consequences if I'm
sure.
operating sure. a piece of machinery or cooking. That could be dangerous.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, so I'm going to go through this pyramid just for our listeners' sake, and then we'll come back and revisit them. So 10% retention reading, 20% of retention if it's an audiovisual presentation, which I guess is why we'll use PowerPoints and try to put some video clips in that. 30% if it's demonstrated in front of us. There goes my dad, the showing piece.
Yep.
We have a 50% retention if we discuss it in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 75% retention if we practice by doing, which was what my dad was talking about. But then a 90% retention if we teach it to others. And that's what I love about John's thing was, you know, what are you going to teach to somebody? And you've sat in enough of my sessions to know that the last slide before, are there any questions, is always, what did you learn? And who are you going to share it with in the next 24 hours? Because those are the key. If somebody can come away from one of my teachings with a key concept and they teach it to someone, they will remember that. And I think, you know, I think it's even higher than a 90%. Something else that I found interesting was that in the part of my certification, we were given tips on becoming better public speakers. And one of the things that makes John Maxwell such a great public speaker, and you'll find this, any great speakers that you listen to, they say less, if I can put that, you know, they don't try to dump a ton of content on you. But they also mix it with statistics and humor or emotion, anything that'll draw emotion out of you. So they'll typically teach by telling a story. And that story you'll be able to make a connection with for whatever reason. And it could be humor. It could be a heart-wrenching type of thing. And what I've found, they've actually mapped out some of John's teachings. In his a shortest span of a minute and a half, he'll take you through all of those emotions. He'll build up a lot of tension, a lot of emotion, and then he'll release it with something humorous. And I think that, too, helps us because, again, we're making these connections with feelings and things as we're listening. to the speaker. So my guess is that his retention rate, even though it's technically a lecture, is a lot higher than 5%.
Yeah, because there's just those associations.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That association of how did I connect it with mm-hmm. something else. Mm-hmm. And another thing I found interesting, and this is something that I'm going to build into a lot more of my teachings, even one I'm doing one tomorrow morning on coaching and mentoring for success. But when I was in West Palm and I was being taught by one of the John Maxwell corporate trainers, who was just phenomenal, was at least once an hour, at least, if not twice an hour, he had us discussing something at our table or answering questions in a workbook.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't try to pound a ton of data into us. He just kind of led us on this path of discovery type of thing, because he knew we could always go back to the book to learn more. But I thought that was great, because by engaging in the discussion, he increased the retention rate by 50%. And then by the practice, by doing, by actually writing some things down and having to answer questions, which was a physical type of thing, he had us in the 75% area.
And I think you see this too. You think about all the time we invest in reading books that are for
right.
professional or personal development.
Sure.
You know, some of them will have places to answer questions or reflect and take
right.
notes. And how often do we skip those parts?
Right.
Or at least I do. I know I'm guilty
yes.
of that. Just skipping right over them. And I recently came across a book and it said, like, do not skip those parts. Like, don't do yourself a disservice and skip them. Like, if you're going to skip them, why bother? Essentially,
right.
is what it said in much nicer terms. And I think that's probably wise. Otherwise, you just breeze through the whole book without answering those questions, applying it, and really thinking about it at a deeper level and retaining more of that information. It would just be another one of those books on your shelf.
Right. Yeah. So when we're in, and when we're, and I've noticed that, like with John Maxwell's books in particular, at the end of every chapter, there's questions
mm-hmm.
to answer, you know, and his goal is always to help us glean a learning from it. So we're not, you know, these aren't the books that we're reading for entertainment. These are books we're reading for professional development,
mm-hmm.
and we really need to focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want our listeners to realize that the most precious commodity we have is time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste time in training. If you're going to go to training, if you're going to read a book, invest in that. Invest, you know, because the greatest investment is not the 164 billion or 0.2 billion. That the corporations are paying. It's the time, because, you know, our companies can earn more earnings.
Mm-hmm.
But you're giving the time. I've often thought, you know, when I, especially if I'm doing an on-site for a company that will have, you know, a room full of their key people, they're investing a tremendous resource in that time with me. And I've got to make sure that I go with my A game and give them the tools to retain it. So I'm changing up tomorrow's presentation, where I'm going to make sure there's time for them to discuss as a group, you know, who are the people that they think they can mentor and coach and how.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just have them fill it out, I'm going to have them fill it out, because I usually say, when you leave here, take time to do it. I'm going to cut some of my stories out and make sure that they have the time to do that in the room, so that that's something they really can act on when they get back to the office.
And I think, you know, if you're someone who trains or organizes the training for your staff, think about building in some time to talk about it. So
right.
not just hire a trainer, hopefully from MACNE, and have them come in and do your training, but spend some time debriefing, talking, learning from each other, instead of just absorbing it like a sponge and then, you know, going back to your desk, back to your daily grind.
Exactly.
I think if you learn these things together, talk about them together, and find ways to start using them immediately and teaching other people.
That's awesome. Because what we're looking for is not a learning, but a behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can know all the stuff in the world, but if it doesn't change a behavior in some way, it was a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips that you might be able to share, like if you're listening to a podcast or something to capture learnings? Like when do you listen to take notes, or are you like me, you just kind of listen in the car?
I was actually listening to a podcast right before we started recording our podcast, and I was listening while I was doing other things.
Okay.
I'm not one to take podcast notes, mostly because I know that I wouldn't revisit them.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll put in my notes app on my phone, like if there's something like a book or a website that's referenced that I want to bookmark for myself to go back to mm-hmm. later.
Sure.
I'll do that. But I'm not one to just sit and listen again, but I'm not a good auditory learner. So for me, podcasts are a challenge. And when I can associate it with something else, like I was doing laundry when I heard XYZ and then tell my husband later, like, yeah, when I was folding this, like I learned this from a podcast.
So you know what the key is? We need to talk about food more.
Right.
So if we would, that's probably why Perino and Steyerwaltz, I'll tell you what, talks about food on their podcast. Mm-hmm. So then when we're eating that steak, we remember the point that they made about the bill in Congress that was going to do this, that, or something else.
Yes.
Well, you know, what I do when I think Brian's point, that was Brian Butler being the person that really stimulated this thought for me, is that don't just rush through things, but take your time. And if there is something that struck you, the nice part about podcasts is you can just go back and listen to it again.
Yep.
Because they're always there. But you know, I just pulled up my notes. And the nice part was I'm driving, so I made them on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just pulled them up on my iPad. I could have pulled them up on my laptop or my iMac, but I could see the notes that I made. So I think the key is that if you're listening for something to gain learnings from, you've got to take the time to make a note or revisit it, because repetition mm-hmm. is the only way for you to remember.
I mean, there's really easy tools too. I mean,
sure.
I do it a lot with websites. Is like I will be on my phone and I'll see something and I'll say, oh, like I really want to get into this, but I need to be on my computer, a place where I can act a little faster than I'm on my phone.
Sure.
It's so easy just to like hit that little send button on your iPhone.
Yes.
And like email it to yourself.
Right.
I do that all the time. And so that later when I have more time, I can revisit it and really get out of it what I want, instead of being in line at the checkout at Wegmans and seeing something and only having a few minutes until it's my turn to unload my massive cart.
That's great. That is great. You know, the other thing that I do is I'll send text to myself.
Oh, I do that. Yes.
Of thoughts. And then I can mm-hmm. just cut and paste
mm-hmm.
into my own. I think one of the keys too is for folks that, and I had four coaching sessions today, and I brought it up in three of the four coaching sessions. Your daily reflection questions are huge in terms of your learning, because, you know, one is what went well, what didn't go well, what did I learn, and what will I change?
Mm-hmm.
Those four questions right there are huge at getting us to retain the learnings that we've had
mm-hmm.
for the day. Because every day, if we're not learning, it was a waste.
Yeah.
Because if we're not getting better, we're just living Groundhog Day. And none of us want to wake up tomorrow in the same place that we were today.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting back to something that will allow someone to make an association.
Okay.
So, any special foods that you folks love for the holidays?
I mean, there's a lot of foods that I love. I really do like cookies.
Okay.
But I like cookies all year long. But my mom does make really good cutout cookies. And as a lot of our listeners know, I have a lot of strange dietary restrictions. So she does make them Marissa friendly.
Okay.
So I do look forward to those.
Our favorite Austrian is baking strudel right now. I can smell it.
I bet that's delicious.
Man. I walked through the door and the whole house smelled like apple and cherry strudel.
That would be good. I do enjoy like Christmas Day. Our dinner on Christmas Day is really nice. I don't know. I mean, I think just the being together part.
Yeah, exactly. So we're one of our traditions. We're gonna have to change up our traditions because, as I've shared with you personally, that our family, all of my family's gonna, all of my kids and grandkids, we're gonna be together in Florida mm-hmm. for the week. But we always would do a cheese fondue on Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
A lot of times we'll do hors d'oeuvres.
Mm-hmm.
That would be our Christmas Eve thing. But cheese fondue has become a pretty good tradition. So we've already arranged that. My daughter's going to bring her fondue pot from Ohio, and I'm going to bring mine from here, and hopefully they'll make their way to Florida and back without breaking.
Oh, my goodness.
Because ours was hand-carried by some friends of ours from Switzerland, so I want to make sure that doesn't
break.
Wow. But the other thing is that my son Mike, who loves to cook, is working on brujol.
Wow.
And he's already started prepping the meat. I saw a picture of it. It looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yes.
That's going to be part of our week.
And it'll be a very different Christmas for you.
It will be, because it's going to be warm.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. All right. So you probably want to know what's next week, don't you?
That was my next question.
Do you have a decision bias?
Mm.
So that'll get people thinking.
Yes.
But they can read the email first thing next Wednesday morning mm-hmm. and then listen to the podcast immediately.
Yep.
Because it will be ready.
Yes, it will.
So... with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.